Well, I desire your prayers this evening. I have a few thoughts that I believe are from the Lord, and I feel really inadequate in myself to be able to bring out what I feel like the Lord's given to me, and just pray that the Lord will use this to be an encouragement and a challenge and a blessing. These scriptures have helped me a good deal. It's kind of a, I guess maybe a part two to what we talked about last Sunday. Last Sunday we talked about obedience to the Lord, and the Lord has given me some thoughts about our will and what an important part that plays in how our life goes for us and how we are successful or not in spiritual things. You know, there is in the world today, and a lot in mainstream Christianity, the thought that everything is ordered to such a degree that we don't have really, if you come right down to it, that we don't really have our own will, that we are predestined to do this or that, and that everything follows exactly how God ordained it from the beginning. You know, there are things that the Lord has ordained, but I think as we brought out last week, humans, because God loves, because God wanted something to love and something to love Him, He created us with one thing, and that is our own will. So, let's go to Galatians 5. Verse 16. This book was written to a group of people that had gone backward in a manner of speaking, and they had been troubled by different people that said, we need to go ahead and observe the different elements of the old law. And so Paul was reprimanding them and trying to bring them to restore them and to let them know what was really important. In the 16th verse it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, I got to thinking here, there's a battle of forces that go on in us. There are forces that come from the Spirit of the Lord, influences that come, and He wants us to follow those influences and to obey His will. There are also forces that come from another side, and those forces are also constantly trying to influence us to take a different course than the way that the Lord would have us to take. It says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh is our default system. It's what we were born with. I know this sounds really basic, but this is crucial to understanding and to having a successful relationship with the Lord. We have a default system in us. And it is never, you know, the only time that we're going to be where we always do the will of the Lord without any thought for anything else is when we get to heaven. We have power and we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to give us power. But until then, all of our life, we have to crucify our flesh. It's not just a one-time thing where we say, I'm wholly sanctified and I did this way back at the altar 20 years ago or whatever. Every single day, we have forces that want to come against what we want to do and what the Spirit of the Lord wants us to do. And we have to crucify those things. We have to say no. And the Spirit of the Lord will give us power to do that. It's not just a one-time thing. We have to crucify our flesh every day. But what are, you know, the list here, we've got two lists, and they're the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. What are the works of the flesh? And what are the fruits of the Spirit? How do we get them? How do we acquire this list of things that are so desirable? And how do we turn away from this list of things that is so damaging and hurtful? I want to go to James 1 and 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, these verses bring about a very solemn thought, because after this, the next verse says, do not err, my beloved brethren. There is a very solemn import to these verses. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Why did they put the word conceive in here? You know, I've looked it up, and the original, this is not a faulty translation. You can look at other translations of the Bible, and even the more liberal translations, they still have this word conceive in there. And the original word means conceive, which means to an offspring from two. Now, I want to draw a little diagram on the board.
I'm running out of space here, and I wanted everybody to see it. I'll just put spirit.
Hopefully that's not too obscure. So it says that lust hath conceived. And if we can understand the process of what actually happens to bring forth sin, I think it'll help us in many ways. Our flesh, which really is influences that are from a force that is exactly opposite of God, when those things come and tempt us, we have all kinds of temptations. And they come in many different ways. And no matter how sanctified we are, we will never get to a place where we never have any temptation. But whenever our will, whenever it comes and we yield to it, and our will aligns with that temptation, with that lust of our own flesh, the result of that, the child of that union, is sin. And whenever that is finished, it says it brings forth death. I want to go to Romans 6 and verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" In the 21st verse, the 23rd verse, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, a lot of times the devil would like to get us from just being tempted. And many times I have had this struggle in my own mind where the devil will send a temptation my way and I resist the temptation, and then he'll come right back around and say, he'll try to get me because of the temptation and try to get me to be all cowed down and think that I don't have the victory. You know, if our will is not involved, it's not sin. Sin is a result of the conception of our will plus the lust of our flesh. And those things, when we yield our will to the lusts of our flesh, then we start to see that list of things. The works of the flesh are these: fornication, adultery, uncleanness, hatred, variance, all of those things. When we yield our will to those things, then those things that are the works of the flesh start popping up into our lives. But when we yield our will unto the Spirit of the Lord continually, and we crucify our flesh every day, then the fruit of that is love and joy and peace and meekness and temperance and long-suffering and all of those things. I want to go to 2 Peter, the first chapter and the first verse. It says, "Simon Peter, an servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. You know, I've thought that if there was ever a roadmap for success in the Bible, this is it. It says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, I don't want to ever fall, do you? And so, I look at these things, and it says to add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge. Do you see the progression here? When we get saved, we didn't come built in with all these things. And we don't have them automatically when we get saved. We have, the Lord changes our heart, and he gives us a new heart, and he makes us a new creature, and he washes away our sins, and he gives us power. But there's a progression of things that we're going to have to learn. When we get saved, we embark on a journey. When we accept the Lord into our lives, and when we give ourselves to him, even if we're totally consecrated, fully sanctified, we embark on a journey that'll take us the rest of our lives. You know, I can look back in my own life, 10 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. And there's sometimes I'll look back and I remember how I was. And I was saved. I had gotten saved. I had repented. I had done everything I knew to do. But I look back and I think, well, how was I even saved? Because I couldn't do this now. And I couldn't say that now. And sometimes I just shake my head in embarrassment and I think, boy, I hope these people don't remember that. Because I didn't, do you understand what I'm saying? And I've tried to make everything right that I can make right. I just want us to know that. But I think back in my life, and I think of things that I did, and you know the Lord was teaching me, and I couldn't do those things now. If I did them now, it would be sin. And back then, do you think those things were pleasing to the Lord? No, they weren't. But you know, the Lord was leading me. And 10 years down the road from now, I'll probably look at myself now and think, well, boy, the Lord sure, I'm sure thankful that the Lord's led me. You know, that's the way he wants to do with all of us. The Lord's mercy is great. The Lord doesn't, when we get saved, the Lord doesn't expect us to just be on top of everything and to have all this knowledge and have all the understanding and all the light and all the peace and all the faith. You know, it's a progression, and we do those things, and as we yield our will, this is what's important. The one factor that we must always remember from the time we get saved till the time we die is that our will needs to be yielded to the influences, to the Spirit of the Lord. I think about Pilgrim's Progress. Christian and Pilgrim's Progress went through a time. It was a very dark time in his journey. And he said that they went down, I don't know how many of you have read the book, but he went down into a valley. Was it called the Valley of the Shadow of Death or something like that? And he went down into this valley. And on one side, I might get it mixed up a little bit, but on one side I think there was a deep abyss. that he couldn't see the bottom. And on the other side, there was a marsh that if you fell into it, there was no getting back out of it. And all he had, and it was dark, and he couldn't see. And all he had was this little path that would lead. And he was just taking one step in front of the other. You know, we can get in those places sometimes. And it doesn't mean that the Lord's forsaken us, and it doesn't mean that we've sinned. There are times that the Lord wants us to take just one step at a time. And at those times, you know, Christian said that a demon perched on his shoulder, and he could hear the voices and the demons and the things, the heathen, the horrible devilish things fluttering around. He could hear their wings beating. He could feel the air from their wings. He could hear their voices, and one of them got up on his shoulder and started whispering things to him in this story. And he said that it got him so confused that he didn't even know if it was his own voice or if it was the demon. He was so confused that he didn't know if it was him that had said those horrible things. He didn't want to say them. And it was his will and his mind not to say them. You know, there are times where the devil wants us to get down and think that we've sinned. If thoughts come to our mind or if things, you know, the devil can torment us. And he can bring things to our mind, and he can get us to think that we're not saved. He can get us to think that we're not sanctified, that we don't have the Spirit of God. Because if we had the Spirit of God, we'd never have such a thought come into our mind. You know, at those times, it's in Pilgrim's Progress, all Christian could do was just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes there are times in our life where we're going to have to do that too. And I remember one time that it was actually I preached a message somewhere, and when I was preaching it, I looked back and, or maybe it was before I got up, I looked back and somebody was sitting in the audience that I didn't expect to be there, and the message cut right across their path in a major way. And when I got down, the devil started tormenting me and said, "You changed the content of your message because you saw that person was there." And I want to tell you folks, I didn't even know if I did or not. I had to say, "Lord, I hope I didn't." I tried not to. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't know in our minds exactly what's going on. But if our will is to serve the Lord will help us through those times. The will, the choice, our desire, if our desire is pointed toward the Lord, He will bring us through those places. We don't have to look, we don't have to wonder if we're doing something accidentally that the Lord, I want to tell you, every single one of us, because we are on that journey, every single one of us are probably doing things that the Lord wants to lead us to do differently. I'm not talking about things in this list that are just horribly, that just open sin. But there are a lot of things that I know the Lord has taught me. I hope this is an encouragement to you all. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. I want to read a few verses. You know, our will involves more than just saying, "I want to do what's right." 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, I like the wording of this is interesting. To bring into captivity every thought. To bring it into subjection. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 and read a few verses there. First Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now I want us to think about the other scripture we read. It says to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, there are people in this scripture in 1 Corinthians, Paul was making a comparison to the things that the athletes of the day did in order to win a garland of roses and earthly fame. They did all kinds of things, and I don't get into the world of sports, but I know that they do some crazy things. As far as they do some very they're very disciplined. A lot of them they go to bed early. You read about the people that have really been successful in the sports or athletic world. They get their sleep. They eat right. They have rigid times of discipline with their body where they exercise and they do all these things and they won't let themselves just get flabby and out of shape. They keep themselves, their body into subjection. And you know, we have something, a goal that's a lot more important than that. We have eternal life to think of. And so sometimes I think, you know, as we mentioned last Sunday, sometimes we don't consider a big deal. We tend not to consider a big deal to obey the Lord. You know, the Lord wants us to obey Him, and sometimes it's going to take more than just saying, I want to obey Him. If our will is really toward the Lord, we're going to rein some things in. There are times when the devil is going to want us to think about something or to harbor something in our heart or to say something, and it is from a motive that brings this, the obedience of that is going to bring out one of those works of the flesh that we read about. You know, I want us to think, if there's something, if we have a struggle with an attitude or something like that, if we realize where that's really coming from, if we realize, you know what, these thoughts, I don't care if it's fair, I don't care if it's what's really right, you know, I should have this. This should have been like this, and we get all worked up about it. You know, if those thoughts, if we can realize that those thoughts are coming from the devil, I don't want any part of those. I don't want to entertain. It doesn't matter what's fair, what's just. If those thoughts are from the devil, we need to realize that and to put those things into subjection. To crucify our flesh every day. If the people that work so hard to obtain a physical or a temporal crown, a corruptible crown, if they do that, if they work that hard, how much more should we strive to inherit eternal life and to have those fruits of the Spirit? I want to balance this out. Well, maybe I'll wait on that just a little bit. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 1. I just have a bunch of scriptures to read here. Maybe you can take these home with you and study them some more. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I won't read all these verses here, but down in the fifth verse it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And here it is again, the results of living after the flesh in the 13th verse. For if you live after the flesh, if you yield to those things that your flesh brings to you, if you align your will in that direction, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It can't get any more plainer than that, can it? Our flesh plus our will equals the works of the flesh or sin. And that, the fruit of that is death. The Spirit plus our will equals the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord wants us to have. Our will is one of the necessary components in that. We can learn a few things from this. And one we've already mentioned, that just the temptation itself is not sin. Now I want us to know that we can make it become sin if we harbor it, if we pet it, if we just keep it around, even if we don't do it, if we adopt a desire for it in our mind and we keep it there, then it becomes more than a temptation. But when those thoughts come, the Lord has given us power to push those things away. You know, I want us to go to another scripture. This is a man that wanted his child to be healed. Mark 9 and 23. We won't read all the verses here, but somebody that came to Jesus and he was in desperate need. And Jesus said unto him, he said, Lord, help me. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, we cannot force our faith higher than it really is, but at the point where it's at is all that's needed for God to work. God meets us at the point we're at. If we go as far as we can go, I remember a time, it was right here, that it was years ago, but I was dealing with some things in my mind, and I felt like I could not go spiritually. I could not advance, and I didn't know what to do. I was in a very low place. And I remember I came to church, and it was like the minister had sat down and just listened to me pour out my heart before the Lord. I couldn't even really pray. All I could do was just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I can't succeed. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. And you know, the Lord knew exactly where I was at. And the Lord met me at that place where my faith was at a low ebb. I reached out as far as I could reach. You know, that point is all that we have to reach. It's everything we've got. It doesn't have anything to do with the power that we have in ourselves, but it has to do with where we are willing to go. God meets us where we're at. You know, I'm thinking about David and Goliath. David, when he met the Philistine, there was no way he had it in himself to kill that giant. But he told the Philistine, the battle is the Lord's. But just because the battle is the Lord's doesn't mean he just sat back and said, all right, Lord, it's time to kill this guy now. I'm out here and do your thing. You know, he did everything he could. And when it came time to kill a Philistine, it says he ran toward the army of the Philistine. He got 5 smooth stones. He used the tools that were familiar to him. Saul tried to give him armor and he said, I haven't proved this. I don't know anything about it. I'm going to use what I know how to use. And if you would have, would you have thought that a little slingshot and some stones were really effective against the weapons of a guy that was nearly twice his height and was covered in armor? You know, the battle is the Lord's, but the choice is ours. The power is the Lord's, but the determination is ours. The Lord wants us to yield our will to Him, even if it looks like we don't have what it takes to conquer the battles that we face. But when we give everything to the Lord and we do everything that we can do, the Lord will make up what we lack every time. I want to read I want to go to Acts 5 and 40. So the apostles got put in prison. Or, no, they got beaten. And it says to him they agreed, when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now I want to ask you, was that suffering, did it feel good? It didn't. You know, they weren't, I don't think when it said that they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They had given their will to God. And at that point, when they were beaten, they knew. They said, Lord, because of what you've done for me, I love you. And I am so glad that I'm worthy to suffer for you. No, it doesn't feel good. No, the stripes don't feel good. And you know, a lot of times the devil will come and try to get us down in this place and say, you really don't have a heart to serve the Lord because you don't want to go visit this person. You don't want to give this. You don't want to donate this. You don't want to serve here. You know, our flesh doesn't want to do those things. And I believe if you would have asked the apostles, they would have said, no, my flesh did not enjoy that. No, my flesh does not want to do those things. You know, our flesh is a part of us, but we don't have to give in to it. And we don't have to say, you know, because my flesh, we can tell the devil, no, I really do. I have a heart to serve the Lord. Even though my flesh does not want to do those things, I want to because of the joy that's set before me and because I love the Lord Jesus for what He did for me. I want to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what the flesh, you know, our flesh is going to be crossed many times in life, and it doesn't mean that we don't want to serve the Lord if our flesh doesn't enjoy it. Our flesh isn't going to enjoy it. But do we choose? I want to get a verse in, I think it's in Habakkuk. Yes. Habakkuk 3 and 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of our salvation. I want us to ask ourselves, what is the most important thing? What is important to us? Is pleasing our flesh important? Is making sure that we're always comfortable important? You know, when the Lord is the most important thing in our life, we're going to choose to do those things, even though it might not feel good to the flesh. Because think of what the Lord's done for us, how the Lord loves us. Think of what He's done for us in the past. Think of what we have to look forward to. I think it was Brother Donnie at Monarch that said, you know, when we get to heaven, it's like we're going to be grossly overpaid. It's like me saying, I want you to mow my yard. And whenever you get done, I'll give you what's fair. And you mow the yard and it's hot and you get done and you say, all right, I'm done with the yard. And you're all hot and you're sweaty and you got to go home and clean up and you're tired. And I say, well, thank you very much. That was 2 hours of hard work and I appreciate it. Here's $20,000. You know, it's going to be like that when we get to heaven. If we will yield our will to the Lord and we will say, I choose to serve you because of everything you've done for me and because I want what you have offered to me because it's my right, because I want it. You know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to regret those times where we said, yeah, I will rejoice in the Lord. I want to go to Luke 3 and verse 3. I have a friend that I've been trying to minister to some, and he said the other day, I said, you need to pray and seek the Lord. He said, I pray every day. And I asked the Lord, and sin has him bound, utterly bound. He said, I pray every day for the Lord to change me. And I said, I want to have a Bible study with you, but first I want you to go read everything that you can read about John the Baptist. And I want to read a little bit here. Luke 3 and 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is John. And it is, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, John did not have an interim gospel. He didn't have, it's not something that was just a placeholder or something that, well, we're going to have this while we're waiting for the Messiah, but when the Messiah comes, then we're going to have the real deal. This right here, it was preparing the way of the Lord, preparing people's hearts. In Malachi, it talks about John the Baptist, and it says, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and of the children to the fathers. Now I've read that the translation really means, and he shall turn the hearts toward God from the least of them unto the greatest of them. You know, the Lord has things. He has fruits for us in our lives. And he has things that he wants to bring into our lives. But it says, John was saying, if you want to receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's coming. And if you want to receive that, you need to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Which means that you're going to lay aside all the things and do everything you can. Maybe you don't have the power. You don't have the power to live above sin. But I want to tell you, this is what I told my friend. Or this is what actually, I'm not sure exactly how much I told him that day. But you know, the Lord didn't make us into robots. And he's not going to just change us. We can ask him all we want to. And we can want for him to change us because we want our lives to be better. But our will, when we decide, Lord, I want you, and I'm going to stop doing these things, And I'm going to start coming to church. And I'm going to start seeking you. And I'm going to listen to everything I can. I'm going to listen to all the preaching I can. And I'm going to absorb all of your word I can because I want you in my life. When we do those things, when we show the Lord that we want Him in our lives, He will be found of us. In Acts, it says that He's not far from every one of us. He meets us where we're at, but it has to be at the limit of where we're at. He's not going to come and change us without us bringing forth fruits meet for repentance. That's where our will comes in. And it was what John preached to the people to get them to receive the kingdom of God. And you know, it's the very same way today. If we want the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're going to have to bring forth fruits that let the Lord know that we're serious about getting that power. If we want to serve the Lord, we're going to have to go as far as we can and He'll do the rest. I remember a story that Brother Marty has told different times preaching, and that one time a piece of trash was on the floor. It was one of his many years ago when his children were small, and one of them, he said, pick up that piece of trash off the floor, please. And she wouldn't do it. Well, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, he didn't really care about the trash, but then it became an obedience issue. And so then they had a long struggle about it. And she would not yield her will to her father to do that he had asked her to do. And it got to where, after a while, she was standing over the trash can with a piece of trash in her hand, and she said, Daddy, knock it out of my hand. But he wouldn't do it because she would have won. And you know, the Lord will bring us to all kinds of places, and the Lord wants to deliver us. And the Lord wants us to have those fruits in our lives. But the one thing that we retain is our will. That is the one thing that we have left. And our will always has to align with His leadings and His guidings. Our will plus the Holy Spirit is what that's why that word conceive is in there in the book of James. Now, our will by itself is not going to get us very far. I want to balance this out just a little bit. We read a little bit ago about in the book of Peter. You know, Peter had some real things to learn about his will. Let's go to Matthew 26. Almost finished here, Lord willing. Verse 31, Matthew 26. Peter wanted to serve the Lord, but he didn't realize some things. So Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's quite a statement for him to make, because the Lord had just told him, that's not what you're going to do. And he said, Lord, you don't understand. I'm going to die with you. Well, let's read on here a little bit. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto thee that this night, and I wonder if, well, it was a very serious matter, but you know, the Lord, I don't think he had a smile on his face, but this is one of those times where Jesus could have said, You just need to be quiet because you don't know what you're talking about here. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said also all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went on a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto them and to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, I've wondered in the past about these verses. But I think, if you give me a little liberty here, I believe that these verses, that this charge that he gave to Peter, didn't just have to do with what was going on in the garden that night, but it was the way that Peter was. It was the way that Peter was handling the situation. The Lord gave him a heads up here and said, this trouble's coming. This is going to happen. You all do not have on hand what it takes to stand strong. And Peter said, listen, I know myself, and I know what I'm going to do, so it's okay. I love you. There's no way I'd leave you. I'd die with you. And Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. You can want it as bad as you can. You can think that your will is totally, you're gonna do this. But you know, in our lives, no amount of self-control and our will by itself is going to get us victory. It says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Peter, you don't have on hand what it takes to stand in the evil day. You need to watch and pray. This is not how you're supposed to handle this. I give you a heads up here. How many times are we going to have a situation where we don't know what's going to happen and there's trouble coming, but we don't know? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know when Jesus gave that to Peter? When Jesus said, you're going to deny me thrice, the best thing that Peter could have done at that moment was say, oh Lord, I don't want to fail you like that. What can I do? And start seeking and praying. And down there in the garden where he had all that time, he knew trouble was coming. And he should have been making ready for it and saying, Lord, what can I do? I don't want to fail you. And you know, he learned his lesson. Because that, he's the one that wrote the scriptures. If you do these things, you shall never fall. If you have these things in your life, you're never going to fall. He learned some valuable lessons here. And you know, he learned that it's not our will by itself that's going to get us anywhere. It says to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, our will, we can want the Lord in our lives all we want. But if we let our prayer life go, and if we stop seeking the Lord, and we just say, you know what, I don't really have time for that right now, but my will is to serve the Lord. I want victory, and the Lord will keep me through this, and He knows that I'm too busy. It's a mistake. I'm telling you, it's a mistake. I've tried it before, and it doesn't work. Our will plus the Spirit is what gives us the victory, the fruits of the Spirit, the righteousness, eternal life, victory. Peter didn't understand. And the Lord was trying to tell him what he needed because he knew who we really are. He knew who Peter really was and he knows who we are too. And the Lord wants, he doesn't want any of us to fail. But we cannot do it by our own will. I want to get just a couple more scriptures here. John 15 in the first verse. Says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, the Lord will send, if the Lord knows that we really want to serve him, it says that every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the Lord will send trouble into our lives and things, because he knows what our desire is and what our will is. And so he will send things into our lives that will help us to gain the victory that we need. He will send trouble into our lives to stepping stones. He'll say, how about this? And then how about this? Can you consecrate this? Can you suffer through this? I remember, I want to just relate a little, something that the Lord did for me. I had a dream one night, and in the dream we were sitting right here in this chapel. But in my dream there was a great multitude of people, and they were singing. And it was the song, Oh the Cross, the Precious Cross. And they were singing the phrase, and I was just carried away by the emotion of it. The music was so beautiful. The singing was so wonderful. It was a multitude of people. There was many more people than what's here tonight. And they were singing the phrase, 'Tis there we find the purest gold and joys that never can be told. I woke up from my dream, and almost immediately I learned that Sister Karen LaCroix had passed away. And oh, you know, she had, for those of you that knew her, she had some things, some crosses, some adversity, some things in her life. But do you think she'd trade any of them for what she gained at the end? Do you think that she would, if you were to ask her now, that she would say, no, it wasn't worth it? She bore those things. I visited with her some, and I didn't talk in depth with her, but I went up and I was there around her, and she had such a sweet spirit, and she bore those things so cheerfully and so patiently. You know, if that's what it takes for me to get to heaven, then that's what I want. If that's what it takes for me to find the gold, then that's what I want. And that's what we have to do if our will is going to be yielded to the Lord. We have to say, Lord, you know what's best. And I want to serve you. And if you see that it's best for me to have those things in my life, then by all means send them. And don't take them away until you've wrought the work in me that you want to make. I hope that these things have been a blessing to you all. Pray for me.